Brian Caskey, you're a candidate for town council in Mills River. Why'd you decide to run?
Well, I decided to run because I think I have a unique set of qualifications to run for Mills River Town Council. Essentially, I spent 20-odd years in IT putting together large-scale budgets for a publisher. And you know, I've handled a lot of money. I've basically been the guy who's been in charge of the people and the money and making sure projects get done. I think that kind of expertise is needed in Mills River right now.
Okay. And I was interested to learn in Mills River that it's essentially you run for one council seat, so you have districts. So you're running against the current mayor, but that's it's correct. Not like you're running for mayor.
That's right. That's right. There are five town council seats. After the election, the five members choose from amongst themselves and decide who's going to be mayor.
Okay.
So while I'm running against the mayor, I'm not running for mayor.
Right. Okay. Have you run before?
I have not.
Okay. Did you decide that this was the time that you needed to get in? Was there something that, some sort of catalyst that made you jump in?
Yeah. One of the things I think that really got my attention was when our property taxes in Mills River quadrupled this year. So that got a lot of people's attention. I think it's got a lot of people focused on the election this year because people have just gotten their tax bills and, you know, they stand by the mailbox and just about pass out when they open these envelopes. So people are very interested in this year's election. It's actually the first year that I know of that every single council seat that's up for election has been challenged.
Yeah, and why do you think that is? Historically, why do people typically run unopposed in Mills River?
Yeah, historically, I think you've had a group of gentlemen who they've been in Mills River for a long time. Their families go back very far, and so they've been kind of trusted names in the area. But I think people are sensing that it's time for change. It's time for a little more expertise.
Okay, so you had written this pretty extensive post on your website about this Norafin plant that's going in across from an elementary school in Mills River. You had a lot of concerns with that, and you noted that residents have a lot of concerns with that. Can you just give me sort of an overview of what the issue is there?
Yeah, sure. The thing about Mills River is there's a lot of green space. There's a lot of very open farmland, and it's a very agricultural area. A lot of clean water. That's why you find companies like Sierra Nevada and Bullrock out there. It's also become a bedroom community for Asheville. It's got easy access to I-26. There is a number of good schools in that area. And as I said, it's very close to Asheville. What that's led to is intense pressure from developers. Right now, there are 111 parcels of land for sale in Mills River. Much of that is farmland. Farmers are finding that they can sell their land at very high prices, and developers want this land to develop either for homes or for industry. Now, industry can be very good, but it can also be very bad if it's just allowed to run kind of rampant. And I think that's what we're seeing right now in Mills River. And kind of emblematic of that is the fact that this 75,000 square foot factory just went in across the street from Mills River Elementary School, which is one of the finest elementary schools in the area. We have to go back to last year. So last September, there is a planning meeting, and Mayor Freeman, he's my opponent, he shows up to this planning board meeting as a surprise guest. And he tells them, and this is the first time that I can find in any of the meeting notes that...
And when you say a surprise guest, do you mean that it's unusual for him to show up at these meetings?
It is not unprecedented, but it's unusual for him to show up to a planning meeting.
Okay. Oh, so this is a meeting of this planning board.
It is.
Okay.
And so for the first time, the word Norafin is heard. Norafin is a German company. They use high-pressure water injection to create anti-ballistic vests, also flame retardant jackets, things like that. So it's a non-woven fiber type application. They also do custom applications, which I don't know what those custom applications are, but apparently that's what happens.
Okay.
Now the kicker here is that Norafin wants to develop the land across from Mills River Elementary. So that will require a zoning change from residential, because you have a bunch of houses around this elementary school, and you also have the elementary school, and then this nice piece of farmland across the street. So they'll have to rezone it from residential to light industrial. He says this is going to come up at the next planning meeting, so just be prepared. I don't know whether there's a packet or a letter handed out or what happened.
Okay.
But he just warns them that this is going to come up on the horizon. So at the next planning meeting, this is in October of 2016, Andrew Tate, who is from the Henderson County Partnership for Economic Development, is there. And he explains that they should rezone the land across from the school to make it more attractive to buyers. Apparently, this farmland has been for sale for a very long time. It's owned by J&E Family Properties. And if you check the Secretary of State, that LLC is owned by Janet Orr.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to make that land more attractive to industrial buyers by rezoning, and he says they should do that. Now, as you might expect, there's quite a bit of discussion that ensues on the planning board. People are arguing back and forth. They say this is going to put industry very close to the school. It's going to increase noise. It's going to increase traffic. You're going to have tractor trailers coming down this road. These intersections on Schoolhouse Road are very tight. There are also some environmental concerns. Somebody on the planning board brings up the fact that nobody from the residential neighborhood and nobody representing the school is here at this meeting, and they're not having any input. The planning board deadlocks in a 4-4 vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under the rules of procedure, a deadlocked vote is a no vote. It's not a no, it's not a yes, it's a no vote. In other words, the vote never happened.
Oh, I see, I see. Okay.
So the recommendation does not pass. Now, that's where the story starts to get a little interesting, because at the next town council meeting, which took place on October 27th, 2016, three decisions are made. They make two road improvements. They okay these two road improvement projects near Mills River Elementary. They're going to widen these intersections to accommodate tractor trailers. They also approve the rezoning request mm-hmm. on these four parcels of land, including the one owned by J&E Properties. So that all goes through. There's not a lot of notice. Obviously, parents at the school don't know. My wife worked the car line at the school last week, and she said that people were still saying, what is that thing that's being built across the street there? So people still don't know
what this
thing is. It was not something that was widely advertised. The members of the town council, even a few weeks ago, were saying, hey, why is there pushback against this? We put up a few signs down Schoolhouse Road. People should have known that this was on the agenda, but it wasn't really advertised well. People didn't know about it. And, you know, it would have been very easy for the school board to send out. I mean, they're constantly barraging me with messages, phone messages about, you know, picture day is coming up, make sure you bring your check to school and that sort of thing. Would have been very easy for a message to get out to the community to say, hey, this project is on the books. If you have concerns, please come to the next town council meeting and let's discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a little bit of this that seems to be happening in the dark. And that's kind of my problem with it to a certain extent.
And what about this no vote? I mean, what legally is supposed to happen? I mean, is the planning board, do they have authority over this, or can the town council just go around them?
In most municipalities, it would have rested there. I'll just say that. It's very unusual for the planning board to not recommend an action and for the town council to go ahead with the action that they did not recommend. So I'll just say it's very unusual.
Okay.
And in most municipalities, it wouldn't happen.
Now, if they had voted no firmly, if they had had a majority of no votes, would the town not have been able to go forward? I mean, does this group have any legal power to stop things, have things go forward, or are they more advisory?
See, that's a good question. And I'm not sure I know the answer to that.
Mm.
I'm not sure whether this is a regular occurrence, whether they go around the planning board. But, you know, you would think in a democratic society where we rely on our experts to do our homework for us and to provide their best explanations and to give their best advice on things, that we would be taking that advice.
Now, one thing is that the three measures that you talked about were approved, I believe, unanimously. Is that right?
That's correct.
By the town council. So, at least according to the council members, it wasn't controversial to them, I guess. Does that alleviate your concern in any way?
It doesn't. And I'll tell you why. Obviously, we're talking about a piece of farmland that was being sold. The five members of the town council all have ties back to the farming community. They come from farming families. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with farming. My family, they've been farming Western North Carolina going back to 1800. But you have 100% of the members of the town council who are farmers or are closely related to farming. only 4.6% of the people in Mills River actively work in agriculture. So you have 100% of the representation of the town being closely aligned with farming and only 4.6%. There are more teachers, there are more nurses in Mills River than there are farmers. Again, I'm not trashing farmers, but I'm saying it just strikes me as very curious that land prices are very high. This piece of land was for sale. It's in a very inconvenient location, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this sale is being pushed through, seemingly at the whim of the town council.
And perhaps your opponent.
Perhaps.
And he, you know, he's saying that basically what you're doing is trying to raise a political issue, that you're coming in at the last minute and trying to win the election with this argument.
Right.
What do you say to that?
I mean, the only response I have to that is that I could care less about the election. You know, this really came up in a very big way at a town council meeting a month ago, because people were there to talk about Bold Rock. They were having some noise complaints, which I think have been remedied. Bold Rock's been very good about trying to take care of that issue. The Norafin thing came up because people who live in that neighborhood near Bold Rock, they're right across the street or in very close proximity to the new Norafin plant. And so mm-hmm. they asked some questions about it. One of the things that was asked was, were any environmental assessments done? And Shannon Gauntz, who's on the town council, and he's actually stepping down, he said, flat out, no. And people just about fell out of their chairs. And he said, because if we'd done an environmental assessment, if we had somebody on staff, we don't have the expertise here to do that. If we had somebody on staff to do that kind of thing, your taxes would go up. And nobody wants our taxes to go up. And, you know, I'm a biology major. That was my major in college. My first thought was, well, you don't have somebody on staff to do that. You hire it out. I mean, there are environmental assessment firms all over Western North Carolina who could have come in and looked at Norafin and said, okay, yeah, what they're doing is completely 100% safe. You guys don't have to worry. Now, my opponent keeps referring to this phase one environmental assessment. He says they passed that with flying colors. They have worked with the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, and they've passed all of their checks. Well, that's a little bit of a fallacy, and it's a fallacy of false equivalence, because a phase one environmental assessment is an assessment that is done to protect the new buyer of a piece of property. In other words, an independent engineer comes out and he walks over the property. He walks through it, he looks around, he makes sure that it doesn't look like there's any contamination, doesn't look like anybody's been changing their oil and dumping it in the ground. There aren't any barrels of plutonium sticking up out of the ground, you know, that sort of thing. But it's done to protect the new buyer, in this case, Norafin. So to say that Norafin passed this inspection is bogus. The other thing is the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, they are improving. But I will tell you that a phone call that was made last week to them, we asked them for any kind of paperwork that was related to Norafin and any kind of checks that they had passed, and they said, well, we never actually came out there. Basically, they rubber stamped it. They saw some paperwork come through. They said, we can send you paperwork, but it'll just have the name and address of the company and approved stamped on it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the situation. And after that meeting, you know, that's when I started to really kind of get concerned about this, because the pictures from the school, you can see this gigantic factory going in across the street. And we know that what they're doing is something similar to making Kevlar. Now, Kevlar is a completely safe product, except that when it's cut, the fibers can cause respiratory issues. And we also know that when it's heated, and that concerns me because they're making flame retardant jackets at mm-hmm. this company, when it's heated, it puts out toxic gases. So, you know, it would be awfully nice, and you'd think that this would be very important to the town council, to actually have somebody come in and just verify that everything that Norafin is doing is safe, given its close proximity to the school.
I know that at least one concerned citizen reached out to us, but what's been the response from neighbors and school members and parents and things like that?
The response has been pretty overwhelming. I mean, I'm answering emails all day long right now. The number of page views on my website are up probably 20 times what they were before. People are very interested in this issue. And to the last person, they don't know what this company is. They don't know what they do. They don't know why they're there. They don't know why they had to go in on that particular piece of property. And so people are very concerned, and especially parents at the school. There are 572 students at that school.
Your opponent also points out that you weren't at what he says. He says you weren't at a single meeting of any sort of the planning or any of that. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I do have a day job, and it's actually a night job as well. I'm educating students, not looking for ways to sneak factories in across from their schools. I'm actually working to educate them. So that'd be my response to that.
Well, let me get you to respond to basically saying that this is a campaign of yours of an agenda of lies, distortions, and just plain wrong facts about what he calls clean industry north. And this was put out to an email to voters of Mills River last night.
Yeah, he can call it clean industry, but I will tell you, my background is in science. I worked in IT for a great number of years for large industries, large publishers like Barnes & Noble. I am a believer in facts, and I would love it if somebody could come to me and prove that what Norafin is doing is 100% safe and 100% clean and, as he says, clean industry. That hasn't been shown to me, and the emails that he's sending out that they passed this check and that check and this check and that check, and oh, by the way, they got a driveway permit from the NCDOT on top of everything, as though that's, you know, something that indicates that what they're doing is safe. None of that indicates that what they're doing is safe. So I'm not trying to spread any kind of panic among people. I'm just saying this thing is going up across from a school. Our children are our most valued resource, and we really should be taking that extra step, you know, paying the extra dollar, doing whatever we have to do to make sure that our kids are safe.
Now, he does point out all of these things that have passed to make this happen, these permitting things that have gotten done. Does it look to you like it's legal? I mean, has it gone through the proper checks? You know, because it may be that you and a lot of the neighbors don't like or feel that the oversight is lax, that the policies in place are too lax for an industry like this. But is it their fault? I mean, if they've gone through everything that they have to do to get this thing built, I mean, isn't that all they need to do?
Yeah, I think it's perfectly legal. I'm not saying that anybody has done anything here. And in fact, you know, while some things sort of look a little funny, it's like, why did this particular piece of land have to be used? Why was it so important that this particular parcel be used to build this factory? Mm. Why was that so important? I mean, that raises a question to me. I'm not saying anything illegal happened there.
Right, right.
But in terms of the way the factory went in, I think it was perfectly legal. I do think that it was lax, the way that things were handled, and I don't think that the community was notified in the way that they should have been. Mm-hmm. If I'm elected, I do intend to make that a priority, making sure people are more tuned in to what's going on, and so they have an opportunity to come out and make their input known. Some of these meetings that you go to, they are very, very sparsely attended. In fact, there have been a few where myself and my family, we've been the only people there to, you know, listen in and make any kind of public comment. So I don't think that anything illegal was done. I just think that it was lackadaisical in the way that it was handled. I think it was rushed through. I don't know why. And, you know, the last thing is I think that some extra steps should have been taken given the proximity to the school.
You do raise some questions in your web post, and some of them are a bit accusatory in nature. You asked, is there some sort of relationship between the members of town council and the Orrs who own the property?
And that's what I don't know. And that's why I always say, why was it this particular parcel? Mm-hmm. I have a friend who is a realtor here in Asheville, and he deals with commercial properties all over. And he told me that there are 111 parcels of land. Now, these are lots. These are farms. These are commercially zoned properties, not homes. These are areas where you could potentially build a factory. Some of these parcels are as big as 219 acres. There are 111 of these parcels for sale in Mills River. So why did it have to be this particular piece of land? Mm-hmm. I will tell you, The Orrs are frequent commenters on Larry Freeman's Facebook page. And again, I don't know the nature of that relationship. I don't know whether they're friends or just acquaintances, or maybe that's a different family entirely. I don't know. But it all starts to look a little funny when you start putting all the pieces together and you say, why was it so important to go in so quickly, so fast, and right there?
Right. Well, does Freeman then have a point when he says you're out on this campaign of, you know, what he calls lies, distortions? But when you raise a question like this, which, you know, it, of course you pose as a question, but it's suggesting that, hey, maybe there is something here. And if there's not, then that may be something that he would find upsetting, I guess.
Sure. I mean, I think it could be easily explained. And I look forward to hearing from him on this issue. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I've never actually spoken to Mayor Freeman.
Really?
So I don't know. And I've been completely honest.
Have you reached out to him?
I have not reached out to him. Mm. No. He's not the fuzziest and warmest of people. And we did have a community forum. It was a debate. And it was pretty unpleasant experience for me, because it was basically stacked with a lot of his supporters, and there was a lot of booing and hissing going on, and it was
it
typical small town politics. And a friend of mine explained to me that small town politics are a blood sport.
Right.
I didn't understand what that meant. Now I do.
In a place like Asheville, bigger, you know, 46 jobs might not seem like much, but maybe in a town like Mills River, 46 jobs is a big deal. I mean, I don't know. Is that, you say in your posting that basically 46 jobs were created, relatively low wages, but is that not a big deal for that community?
To some people, it may seem like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not anti-industry by any stretch. The problem right now is that there are so many industries going in seemingly everywhere. So lots of land for sale, lots of it commercially zoned. And so potentially we could have factories and restaurants and places like Bojangles popping up on every corner. And 46 jobs is not insignificant. I mean, I would never be opposed to adding 46 jobs to the available workforce in Mills River. Mm. The company, Norfin, has promised that these will be jobs that are at an average that is above the average salary in Mills River. The average salary in Mills River is $28,400. They have said that their employees are going to be paid about $35,000. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that includes the upper management and the skilled people that they're going to be transferring in to help run the factory, I don't know. You know, I hate the word average because it does factor in the high end as well as the low end. You know, I'd rather see a median wage being discussed here. But no, I'm absolutely not against industry. I would just love to see this factory. And obviously, it's too late to undo this.
Because it's being built. I mean, obviously.
Built. Yeah, it's nearly done. But going forward, you know, my pledge is that I would want to look very carefully at anything that's going to impact our children in any way.
Right. And you did raise that. You had spoken to members of the school board, and they had said that there wasn't really much that we had to do with this. There was some sort of sewer easement that they had.
Yeah, it's my understanding that their only involvement in this was they were asked about a sewer easement, and that happened last month. Since then, my wife got an email from Bo Caldwell. He's the Henderson County School Superintendent.
Yeah.
And perhaps coincidentally, perhaps not, the email that she received from him is the same one that Brittany Brady of the Henderson County Partnership of Economic Development and Larry Freeman, the paper you're holding in your hand, mm-hmm. That's all the same document.
All the same document.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wish I knew what more was going on.
Everybody does.
Yeah. We'll be talking to your opponent as well about it, so I'll be able to ask him some questions. But I really appreciate you coming in and talking to us about this. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you think we should?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well. You know, I think I just want to reiterate that I would love to be able to say that what Norfin doing is 100% environmentally friendly. We just don't know because the proper assessments weren't done. That's my whole problem with this situation. And all we have are the company's assurances at this point. So I would love to see some more, you know, I don't know what can be done at this late date, but I think if we could get some a real environmental impact study and a real survey of what they're doing.
Yeah.
That might really help assuage some people, and especially people who live really close by, because they're worried that their home values are going to be depressed.
Right.
In fact, this gigantic factory is right here on the street and directly across from the school. People at the school are worried.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that anything that could be done to alleviate their concerns would be a good thing.
And you said earlier that the election was the last thing you were concerned about, probably as it relates to this issue, because of course you care about the election. What would you hope to say to voters out there?
Well, I think people are sensing that it's time for change. And I think if you believe in change and you want things to be handled in a way where the greater good is being considered, because that's my mantra. Whatever is best for the greater good, that's as the voice of the people, that'll be my job to ensure that the greater good is being addressed. So if you're interested in the greater good and in things being fair and on the level, vote for me on November 7th.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.